going to continue to look into deeper and further of our lesson on the topic that is related to transformation. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I shared the message with everyone today. Now, by now, you know this verse by heart. So let's do it. Let's close our eyes and say Romans chapter 12, verse 2 together. Everyone close our eyes. 1, 2, 3. Okay, now say it with confidence, not mumbling. I'm not saying it this time, okay? I learned, you know? Don't follow me. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, all right. You're getting good at this. In the past, because today is our fourth day and tomorrow is the last day. In the past 3 days, we focus on transformation. By now, everyone knows what is the meaning of transformation. Yesterday, we drill on your old self. How can we set that old self aside? But today, we're going to shift our focus on something else. We're going to look at the first word, conform. We haven't studied conform yet. So the first part, because we're going to study conform. But before we study conform, we need to look at renewing a little bit, because we did not have a chance to look at renewing the definition. Yesterday, we talked about the process of being renewed and set aside the old self. Renewing is like a renovation. Complete change for better. Remember on the first day, I show you how special the word transformation is, because it only appeared 4 times in the entire New Testament, right? That is a very special word. Believe or not, many words in this particular Bible passages are very, very special, unusually special. Renewal only appeared 2 times. Renewing. It refers to something very interesting. But from today's knowledge and our experience, the way we could better understand this is like remodeling, renovate. I know some of us live in a house that's been renovated, or you actually been through the process of renovation. Instead of renovating your house, renewal is talking about renovate your heart. It's an ongoing process. Now, we're going to look further about confirmation. Conform is a very special word. It also only appears 2 times, conform. But let's look at the definition of conform first. Conform oneself is like to change to another pattern. And another time, besides in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, another time it appeared, it is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desire you had when you live in ignorance. We're going to come back to look at this verse. This verse is very interesting, meaning that something's going on without you knowing it. When you live in ignorance, you don't intentionally choose to be conformed. Something is going on in the background. And he said, you need to be aware of this thing going on. There is a word that appears also only a few times, and which is very similar than conform. We need to look at this word so that we can have a deeper understanding of conform. That other word is also being transferred conform, but the number is a little bit different. Now I'm going to switch the slide back. The original Greek word for conform in Romans 12, verse 2 is G, represent Greek, because the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. So when you look at the blue letter Bible, it starts with H, represent Hebrew. G, represent Greek. Conform is G4964. Blue letter is designed to be used by non-Greek speaker like you and me. We are English speaker. We cannot differentiate a word, so they gave us a number. So we are good at remember, conform is number 4964. Okay, so 4964 is this one at the bottom, see, 40, is to shape one thing like another. It's more about shaping which part. There is a part in everyone that is changeable, unstable, and it's about shaping, changing that unstable part, changeable part to something else. Now, the similar word is right above it. It's also translated, been translated as conform, but it's different. It's more referring to the essence in a character, and it's more durable. It's not a merely a form or outline. For example, let's look. That other word is used in this phrase, in this passage. But our citizen is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body. The transform here used is referring about the core, the essence within us. So now I'm going to switch back. So here when in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, referring to do not conform, he's referring to the part that exists in everyone. We all have a part that is not stable, always looking up, want to adopt something new, always wanted to be changed. That unstable part, that changeable part, Paul said, that you got to look up your unstable part that is within you. Do not adopt the pattern, the outline, copy the pattern of the world, because that is the part it always wanted to change. This changeable part, if you don't look out, eventually it's going to impact the core part that is in you and corrupt it and lead it astray. Does that make sense? If you could separate the two parts, then we can begin to understand the nature of our battle, what's going on. Remember, that part is a fun part. It's always looking for fun, unstable part, wanted to be changed. Okay, now. Now, since now we understand the definition, today we're going to focus on the pattern of the world. Before we look at the pattern, now let's see. The pattern of the world is very hard to see. What do you see in this picture? Brother, in the first pew, what do you see in this picture? Okay, we're going to start from this brother from Toronto. I'm sorry. What did you see in this? You see a musician? Okay, we're going to ask a girl. Naomi, what do you see? Did you see the musician? And the girl's face. Did you see the girl's face? No, you can't? Okay. Can you see? Okay. You need to look harder. Look harder. Okay. Oh, oopsie. Can you see the eyes here? The nose? Another eyes. How come we couldn't see earlier? I can see, right? That's just our human nature. And this is to illustrate how hard for you to see the pattern of the world when you are living in it and God knows it. You can see. Okay, so we're going to look further. I'm going to show you a different kind of challenges. How many wolves can you see? You clearly could see this one, right? This one is obvious, right? I could see 1, 2, 3, 4 more. How many can you see? How many of you could see 4 more? Is it big enough? Or you cannot see any? There's no wolf, just one, right? How many of you can see 2? Raise your hand. 2. How about 3? Oh, three. I think girls are better at looking at things. How about four? Four. Brother, are you blind? I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. Brother, okay. One is here, right? Here comes the second one. Can you see this head? Can you see this head? Where is the last one? This one, right? Can you see more than... I try. I stare at this picture. There's no answer key, so I don't know how many are supposed to be there. I can see four. Can any of you see the five or six beyond four? Oh, really? Who? Where's the fifth one? Oh, you just get off. Oh, I cannot see. I cannot see any. I was looking in the water. Anyone hidden in the water bushes? You know, I don't see any. The hardest one to me was this one. It took me a while to see this one. You know, and this one is not as challenging. You actually need to stare this hard to see them. As you go by, as you travel through different phases in your life, sometimes you could see one wolf at the beginning, and then you go, whoa, there's another one. Then as you get older, wow, there are actually more and more and more. You actually see more patterns. And this is the pattern that we are being challenged and being conformed. So, God wants you to see, number one, when you look at yourself. Now, by now, you acknowledge you cannot see yourself, right, without the help of a mirror. Do you agree? I think we all have logical mind, right? No one is disputing about this fact, right? You cannot see yourself, right? Without the help of a mirror. If there's no mirror, you can go to a lake to see from the reflection from the lake. But without anything, if you are in the moon, but you're standing by yourself, you just cannot see how you look like, right? You want to see, I really want to see how I look like. You touch your face, go, how do I look like? But you can see it. God has a very interesting instruction. He wants you to see yourself. When you go, oh, I really want to see what kind of person I am, you know. He wants to see you to see yourself through the mirror of God. He wants your image to be reflected in him instead of reflected from the world. What does that mean? When most of us, without knowing it, we see our image reflected from the world. People around us. When you use the world as a mirror to reflect your image, there is some, the direction is different. You begin to see yourself comparing with others. You are not performing well. You are not successful. You are not smart. You are very poor. You don't have talents. You don't compete well. You cannot handle pressure well. You are, in the end, you're going to see the world bring out the inferior part of you. You're going to feel bad about yourself. And if you continue, the older you are, you're going to feel worse about yourself. Oh, I'm aging faster, you know. My friend's children are better. They have better family. They have better career. I'm not good. And that will become your destiny. Then you feel bad about yourself. But that is not the purpose of God. When God asks you to see you in him, look at the creation. After he created the world, if you look at the concluding comment from God, he said, he looked at what he created and he said, it's good. Second day, good. Good, good for 7 day. Can you see yourself in God? Can you see the good that God saw in you? Oh, that is hard, right? So he wants you to see that. When we not only that he wants you to see that, see yourself through him, he also wants you to look at others in the same lens, in the lens of God, not the lens of God, the world. When you look at others, for example, creation day one and day two, you know, God creates something out of the void. As a human being, you open your eyes, you wonder, God could create everything in one day. Why he takes time to create them? And especially the first part, he creates something out of the void. Why Bible need to specifically mention about the void? You as a human, if you look at void, chaos, disorder, you think it's bad, it's out of control. When your life become disorder, become chaotic, this is the course of our life. We will have to go through that. Whenever we go through something very rough, chaotic, we feel our life is out of control, disorder. But God wants you to see that through his lens, not the world. You use the world's lens, go, oh, my life is out of control, it's chaotic. I'm a failure. My life is a mess. My life is a mess. But look at the lens God used. He actually created something out of disorder, void. That is his beautiful purpose. When you are going through something very rough, use God's lens. Then you will understand God wants to create something beautiful out of that disorder, out of that chaos. Different mirror, different lens. It's important. It's important to conform. When we recall the verse, it says, be transformed by the renewing be. But when it's to conform, some versions said to conform, do not conform. Some versions say do not be conformed. Somehow it tells us we somehow have more choices when it comes to confirmation. There is a part that is involve your choices. Also, there is a part that you cannot choose. It's going on consistently in the background. That part you cannot choose. But there is an element in the process of this confirmation you can choose. And it is hard to choose correctly. It's hard to choose correctly. So now we're going to look further. Now we're going to spend some time. This is a fun time. Just like staring at the wolf, let's think about what are the patterns of the world that you can see. You can see. For some reason, I couldn't see any of these patterns when I was younger. But lately, I don't know what happened, you know. Pattern after pattern begin to become so obvious. Then I realized that as I continue to feel the word of God in my heart, then the clarity, not only the clarity of the knowledge of God become clear, better, also the pattern in the world become more clear too. That clarity is very interesting. Pattern of the world. What is that pattern? Can you see this? Pattern. If you have money, you are success, right? Money can buy happiness. That's true. That's true in many ways. But can we reverse it and say, I'm not happy because I don't have money? Oh, it does not work this way. You are not happy. The world is going to tell you because you are not successful, because you don't have money, because you are not beautiful, because you don't have talents. So you are not happy. Wrong. That's the pattern of this world. If you look into the Word of God, you are not happy because you don't know God. You have no knowledge of God. You don't know him. In the end, what you thought would bring you happiness is actually going to crush you. If you continue to use the mirror of the world, go, if I make more money, I'll be more successful. I'll be happier. So you put in more effort because you want to be happy. But you didn't know at the end, you are crushed by what you loved. You're actually going to be crushed. Oh, pattern of the world. This is an ordinary supermarket, right? Ralph's looks like this. Whole Food, kind of. Well, I'm not showing you something that you are not familiar with, right? This is an American supermarket. Do you know something? America is what I can almost say the only country that have this kind of supermarket. You go to other world, you count the number of aisles and the variety of the products, and you measure the square footage. How I know, because I was in supermarket business, I'm sorry. This is my profession, you know. I actually need to go to different Ralph headquarters in Irvine to look at their set store, the model store, to count the number of aisles they have and how they arrange their product. I need to study Target. I need to study Walmart, you know. American supermarket is actually very unusual, but you don't know about this because you are raised, you're born in this country. You feel, I have a choice. You don't know the strongest, the most powerful pattern in our culture. We're just going to focus our culture. I'm not going to look at culture in Taiwan, Japan. No. Our culture, do you know what is the strongest pattern? American consumer. Do you know that? You and I, we are American consumer. We thought we are used to be offered a lot of choices. Choices, choices. They are here to cater my need because I am a consumer. I'm a consumer, right? If I don't like it, I can exchange. I can bring it back to Target. There is 100% satisfaction guarantee, right? I'm not doing anything immoral. Why do you need to return this, Carol? Because I don't like it. I'm not satisfied. Because you guarantee 100%. And I'm not satisfied. Okay, sure, I'm sorry. I apologize that you are not satisfied. Because I am a consumer, right? That happened to you. Oh, I'm sorry you did not like it. Oh, you know, can you find something else? No, I'm going to another store. Your store don't have enough varieties, you know. But you do not know that you can only apply this when you are a consumer. You cannot apply this consumer philosophy in your life.